Boker Tov. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all. Thank you for joining. This morning's shiur is a very interesting shiur that's very halacha, maybe not as lemaisa, but very halacha. Maybe halacha shelo lemaisa. We'll have to see if it's halacha lemaisa or if it's not halacha lemaisa. And interestingly enough, part of the psak that we're going to have to discuss is whether this is halacha lemaisa or not lemaisa. You'll see what I mean in a few minutes. The question that we're going to discuss today is, how late can a person get married? We learned 2 weeks ago that the ideal time is, let's say, 17, 18, maybe 16, maybe 14. We learned last week a question of, can you get married? How early can you get married? Can you get married before bar mitzvah or only at bar mitzvah? But now we're on the opposite side of the spectrum. This is the last part of this se'if, which is Shulchan Aruch Eben Ha'ezer Siman Aleph. Save Gimel, and there we're going to discuss how late you could get married. How late can a person push off and delay the mitzvah d'oraisa of puravu that is obligated upon every male Jew? So I titled it that this might also help us, this might also bring us to a solution to the shidduch crisis, and you'll see what the solution will be about halfway through, or maybe two-thirds of the way through, what that solution might be. The solution might be a little bit painful and bloody, but nevertheless, a solution, no less. But you'll see. So if I could please share you on my screen. Hold on. Let me share my screen with you. Okay. First, thank you to the sponsors. And of course, now let's see this again. So we have a Gemara in Kedushin that you might be familiar with, and we're not going to be spending much time on the Gemara. We're going to be spending more time in the Rishonim and the Mefarshei HaShulchan Aruch. Just going to fix my screens here. Perfect. So the Gemara in Kedushin says, Ben Esrim Shana Velona Sa'isha, you're 20 years old, you're still not married. Oh my goodness, Kol Yom of Ba'aveira. Such a person is probably doing terrible things. He asks the Gemara, "Baveris al kadaydach?" You know, just because he's 20, he didn't find his shidduch yet, so he's doing averas. Ela ema kol yomav behirhur avera. It's not necessarily that he's doing terrible things, but that his mind is not where it should be, and his mind, he's thinking thoughts that relate to, you know, that would be solved if had he been married. Amar Rava v'chein tanu d'beir Yishmael. A very strong phrase that people get nervous when they hear, but yet I don't really know what to make of. Achav shana, until a person's 20 years old, then maybe he's going to, you know, get married before that. Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzape la'adam masa yisa isha. But once kevet shigi achav v'lonasa, once a person's 20 years old and still has not yet married, Omer Hashem says, tipach atzmosav, let his bones bloat. Let him basically explode. Let him be destroyed. Hashem is not interested in a 20-year-old man who is not yet married. So I don't want to take a poll because I have a feeling that the majority of people on this call did not get married by the time you're 20. Even if there is one, maybe two exceptions, you're by far the exception. And I'm really not sure if I could speak about it because I didn't get married until I was 28 years old, which might even be older than some of your wedding dates. So we have to see, how are we going to fit this with the current state of marriage and shidduchim in the contemporary Jewish world that we live in, where typically most 20-year-old boys are not married. It happens to be in Bnei Brak, they do aim to try to get guys married by the time they're 20, but that's not Haredi, that's Bnei Brak. Meaning in Yerushalayim, it's not that way. Specifically, Bnei Brak is the Chazon Ish, who pushed for this to follow what Chazal said. And maybe there's wisdom, there are obviously challenges involved, but there's wisdom, of course. Chazal knew what Chazal understood the human psyche and understood what a human needs, and clearly are not missing the boat, but in our communities, very few people get married when they're 20. Before they're 20. So what happens if a person doesn't get married by the time they're 20 years old? So what should we do if somebody did not get married by the time they're 20 years old? Comes the rush, and he is going to be starting off with something else, and then come back and discuss our issue at hand about how old a person should be when they get married. So the rush is discussing, the rush talks about what happens if a man is married to a wife for 10 years and they don't have children. That's not our discussion, but it's a related discussion because it's also the question of how far are we going to go to enforce pru urvu? Says the Rush. He quotes the Rif. V'rif v'ravil alfis kasav v'heicha d'shayim ma'eser shana v'lo yada l'oldav. A man has been with a wife for 10 years and has still not yet had children. The Rif says whatever he says, and the Rush says, l'shono mashma d'kaifinan le b'shoti. We force him with whips. That means we take our hands and we hold a whip and we slap him until he divorces, takes care of getting rid of that wife to marry a new wife and make sure that he gets married to a wife with whom he can bear children. Not just to divorce his wife. There's no point to force him to divorce his wife of 10 years. The point is to divorce his wife of 10 years so that he can marry a new wife with whom he can have children. Afli sacheres, kedei l'kayim mitzvos priya v'rivya. That's what the Rif seems to indicate. The Rif, of course, who is not questioned, and no one really argues on that point, but if a person is married for 10 years, no kids, so you have to beat him with two points. A, to get rid of his wife, because she didn't bear children to him, nor to, and secondly, to beat him to marry another woman with whom he will have children. V'havalei k'moshar mitzvos. Why should this mitzvah be any other? Why should the mitzvah peruvu be any different than any other of the other 248 mitzvahs? I say, shemakanosa ad shetetze nafsho o ad sheyakaymena. The halacha in all the mitzvos, the rule is that if a person does not fulfill a mitzvah, I say d'oraisa, then it is Beis Din's responsibility, the community's responsibility, to use, you know, do whatever we have to do to get the person to fulfill the mitzvah, and we beat him until he does. That's the way it goes, right? So why is Pru Urvu any less of a mitzvah than any other mitzvah? You know, there's a joke I heard a friend of mine once told me. I think I heard this from a friend of mine who went to Rav Scheinberg, or maybe he told me about a story that he heard from Rav Scheinberg. His roommate in yeshiva wasn't getting up for his Ma'at Kriya Shema. And I'm not talking about the Magen Avraham. He wasn't getting up, not that he davened at 9 o'clock Shachris. He wasn't getting up for his Ma'at Kriya Shema at all. So he goes to Rav Scheinberg and says, you know, Rav Scheinberg, what should I do? My roommate's not waking up. And I know they say, you know, what should I do about my roommate? And Rav Scheinberg says, you have a baseball bat? So Rav Scheinberg was known to have a sense of humor. I don't know if he meant that literally, but that is what, ultimately, that is what psach seems to be, at least in its raw form. That should be the case. It's a mitzvah to say daraisa. I don't advise you, if any of your teenagers are not getting up for Yisrael Kriya Shema, do not follow this rule of thumb or this rule of, you know where rule of thumb comes from. The word rule of thumb means that you're only allowed to hit somebody, you're only allowed to hit your wife with a thick, no thicker than your thumb. That's where rule of thumb comes from. So don't rule follow this rule of thumb. That is actually the etymology of the phrase. Don't follow this rule of thumb. Don't beat up anybody who you know who's not getting up for Kriya Shema. But this seems to be the halacha. And therefore the Rush says it's no less the halacha, it's equally the halacha for Pru Urvu. And okay, so that was what the Rif and the Rush spoke about in the regards to divorcing a wife who hasn't born children. Now it's important to know that if you speak to fertility experts, the fertility experts will tell you that only 33% of fertility issues emanate from the wife. Now we know that another 33% fertility issues are the man's problem. And believe it or not, another third of fertility problems are because of the, you know, interactions between the husband and the wife. It's not the wife's problem, it's the man's, and not the man's problem, but it's the fact that this wife or this man, that causes another third of modern day fertility issues. But this is not a fertility issue, that's for another time. Now, the Rush, after he finishes telling us what's the halacha if a person was married for 10 years and didn't have any children, that we should beat them to get themselves a wife with whom they can have children, now he extends it to our discussion. V'chein haya nachal. So too, after he just finished says that we should beat somebody to marry a new wife with whom they can have children, says the Rush, this is the Rush in Yevamis, Ravak is the same modern English, modern Hebrew word for a bachelor. He's 20 years old and he doesn't want to get married. It is the Beis Din's responsibility to force him to get married, to have a child, to fulfill Pru Urvu. So here we see the Rosh's position, and this is sort of going to be our solution to the Shidduch crisis, right? The guys aren't committing, the guys aren't coming forth, they want to get married late. Well, this is the solution. Take a baseball bat and force them to get married, and you solve the Shidduch crisis. He's too picky? Well, it doesn't say that you have to do puruvu with somebody who you think is the most beautiful and the most wealthy and the biggest tzaddikus and have the perfect personality. It doesn't say any of those regarding the mitzvah of puruvu. So take a baseball bat and solve the Shidduch crisis. Well, we'll talk a little bit about the details a little bit later. It's not going to be as simple as I'm presenting it, obviously. Now, what we really have to talk about now is the Gemara that you're all familiar with, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chavtes, where we see the exception or the role that learning Torah plays, and many people in our, many young men in our community are indeed in yeshiva of some sort, whether it's full-time, part-time, they're definitely in yeshiva of some sort during those formative years, be they the ideal years for Maj, which we'll say is 17, 18, like the Shulchan Aruch said last week, 2 weeks ago, or the maximal age of getting married, which is 20. There are plenty of guys that are in yeshiva till after they're 20 years old. So here we're not going to really spend so much time on this Gemara. That's why I put it in purple. But let's quickly go through the Gemara so we just know the background. Tarabban, Lilmo, Tarav, Elisa, Isha. Person has a choice, which often is a choice, either to learn Torah or to get married. Right? If you want to be learning Torah, then that's great. But who's bringing home the dough, the bacon? If you want to get married, that's great. But then you're never going to have the opportunity to learn. So what should you do? Says the Gemara, Yilmod Torah v'acharkach yisa isha. The rule of thumb, the rule is that you should learn Torah first and then get married afterwards. That's not telling us whether we're talking about a guy who's 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, or a guy who's 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Either way, we're talking about somebody who's marriageable age, who is facing the choice whether to learn, to stay in yeshiva, or to get married. And the Gemara says the rule is you should learn Torah first. However, there's a very important caveat. Let's say a person's mind is not, he's a fiery personality. Let's say he's not so... it's very difficult for him to be without a woman, emotionally, hormonally, and his thoughts are thinking about women, and therefore it's very hard for him to focus on learning because he's not married. So then the Gemara says, okay, so switch the order of him. Yev shalo b'lo isha, yisa isha, v'acharkach yilmod Torah. Switch it around. That's the rule. It really depends on, normally we'd like a person to learn Torah first, but if a person is not going to be able to focus because his mind is on women, then the person should get married first and then learn afterwards. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, no se'isha v'charkach lomei Torah. You should get married first. Presumably, Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel is concerned for the purity of the minds of the young men, and therefore they're not going to be able to focus on the learning anyway because they're going to be thinking about women, and therefore Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel is very practical, and he says, get married so that a person will be more relaxed, and they'll be able to focus on their learning Torah. Kanz Rabbi Yochanan says, that's not practical. It's practical from a psychological point of view, but it's not practical from a financial point of view. Rabbi Yochanan, a rechaim b'tzavar av yasok b'torah, he has a yoke on his shoulders, not a yoke. A rechaim is the mill. The millstone is on his shoulders, meaning he has the burden of parnasa. He has to provide a family. And you expect him to learn? Again, this is another practical concern, not a practical concern for his... you know, for his hirhurim, but a practical perspective on his finances. Says the Gemara of Loplegi, there's no machlokis between these two opinions, one of Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel and the second of Rabbi Yochanan, halan v'haluhu. It depends on the community. One is the psak for B'nai Bavel, one is the psak for B'nai Eretz Yisrael, and the different communities have different, we're not going to go into machlokis, Rashi and Tosis right now, because that's not really our topic, but in one version is, you know, did people go out of town to learn? Meaning, did they leave their families to learn? Or did they have wealth to support themselves after they got married? Either way, you see that it depends on the community. In short, if a person is in a situation that there is money and they could be with their wife and learn in a way that they're taking care of their family and they have money, of course, they should get married first. In a place where they don't have the money to get married, or they won't be able to, they have to travel to go to yeshiva, and they're not going to be able to be with their wife if they're going to be in yeshiva. So then it's maybe they should first learn before they get married. That's Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, but we're not going to go into that right now. What does emanate from both of the way, from the numerous ways of understanding this Gemara, again, about the different communities, what does emanate from the Psak of that Gemara, however you learn it, like Rashi Tosfos, is the following, as the Rush codifies it. V'kulum odu, everyone agrees, there's no discussion. If a person will get married and he won't be able to learn after he gets married, it's clear that he should learn first. If whatever the reasons are, technical, practical, whatever the reasons are, he knows that once he gets married, he will not be able to learn. And that, yes, depends on the circumstances, it depends on the community, it depends where the yeshivas are, it depends on the financial structure of the community, perhaps his own family. Once he gets married, he will not be able to learn, so he should wait and not get married. The question is, until when? And that's really the question that we have to deal with now. Let's say it is a given. Again, if you come from a family where the family is happy to support somebody after they learn for a few years, great, get married. Get married when you're 16, 14, for all I care about, and learn until you're 20, 21, 25, 30, because somebody's bankrolling you. But if you don't have someone to bankroll you, and you really have to choose, if I get married, then I'm not going to be able to be in yeshiva. So the Rush says, then everyone agrees that such a person should learn first. Okay, so they're 19 years old and they're going to stay in yeshiva. They're 20, they're 21, they're 22, they're 28, they're 37 years old, and they still know that once they get married, that no one's going to bankroll them. So they're 37 years old. Do they have to get married, or could they keep on pushing this off? How long could a person say that I'm learning, and since I'm learning, once I get married, I'm not going to be able to continue to learn because I have to support my family? How long can I say that I want to continue learning because I know that once I get married, I'm going to have to leave the Beis Medrash? Says the Rush, I don't know. I don't know that number. The kitzvah and the end point for this decision, la'osa lima, this decision, again, for a person who's learning, because he knows once he gets married, he's going to have to, leave the Beis Medrash. So at which point does he say, at which point could he say, okay, you're 28 years old, you have to leave the Beis Medrash and finally get married. What's the cutoff? Is it 24? Is it 28? Is it 35? Is it 50? The kitzel osalimud, says the Rush, lo yadana. I don't know. But it can't be, says the Rush. Shelo yitachein, it's impossible. She'ispatam mipriya v'rivya kol yomav. Because that's that attitude of saying, okay, I'm going to learn, I'm not going to have children, I'm not going to build a family, I'm not going to get married. Shalom atzinu ze elibet ben azai, shechashka nafsha b'torah, we're going to learn about ben azai maybe in 2 weeks, the Shulchan Aruch will bring the concept of ben azai. Ben azai is that one in a million type of human beings who their intense love for Torah is so incredibly, unsatiably great that they have no other things on their mind. They're not interested in getting married. They're not interested in having a relationship. They're not interested in building a family. They don't need a woman and they don't need the money. They just want to learn Torah and they have the ability to learn Torah, that one in a million type of person. So fine. So maybe he's not going to be obligated to have children. He's not going to be obligated in Pru Revu, that unique one in a million person like Ben Azai. But for the other 99.999% of Jewish men, at which point, says the Rush, this equation can't continue forever. You could argue that I want to learn first because once I get married, I'm not going to be able to learn. But at which point is that going to end? The Rush is convinced there has to be an end point. He just says, I don't know when that end point is. I don't know if it's 24. Maybe it's 27. Is it 30? 32? Guy could say, I want to learn and not get married. Is that possible? Again, if he's going to have hirhurim and he's not going to be able to focus on his learning because his mind is about women, then this question doesn't really begin. We're only talking about somebody who can focus on his learning. So if he can't focus on his learning, his mind is not wandering, and How late could it go? So the Rush says there's definitely a cutoff point. I just don't know what that cutoff point is. If we ran the shiur here, it would be very frustrating. But if you think the Rush is frustrating, look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, he tells us, Ha'ish mitzuva al priya v'rivya avalo ha'isha. Of course, men, not women, are obligated to purvu. From when are they obligated? We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Me'ema sahi'ish neschai b'mitzazu. B'ben shva'esrei. From the time that he's 17, maybe it means the end of the 17th year, which is 18. Okay. Look at this. When are you mevatel purvu? When are you mevatel the mitzvah? Obviously, if a person would get a vasectomy, if a person would make his body unable, would do a serous, he makes himself unable to have children, of course, that would tie the tubes, of course, that person is mevatel purvu. But what happens if a normal person, a normal man, just didn't get married? At what point do we say, you're mevatel your mitzvah? Says the Rambam very clearly. V'kevan she'avru esrim shana v'lo nasa isha, hare zeh over umevatel aseh mitzvahs aseh. Very strong words. Now we can understand why in Bnei Brak they want to try to get people married by the time they're 20. Because the Rambam is saying it's not just like, oh yeah, try to get married by the time you're 20. If not, your bones will bloat. Tipach ha'ptzmosav. The Rambam says, no, what does that chazal mean when it says that Hashem's waiting for him till he's 20? And by the time he's 20, he doesn't get married. Tipa chatzmosa. The Rambam understands halachically, not just spiritually or whatever. The Rambam understands halachically that is the bittul mitzvah saseh. If you're 20 years old and not yet married, you're mevatel pruvu. Ah, what if you're learning? You're in yeshiva. Vim haya osik bat Torah, says the Rambam in Hilchos Ishas Perek Tezvav Halacha Beis. V'haya misyar rei milisa isha. But if you want to delay because you're learning and you want to continue learning because once you get married you can't continue to learn because you have to go to work, you could delay. Until when? Keep on reading. Because hey, you're involved in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which certainly, if you're osik in mitzvah A, we know osik mitzvah patim in a mitzvah, you don't have to do mitzvah B. Certainly when the mitzvah A is a greater mitzvah, Talmud Torah, which is the greatest mitzvah, so certainly if you're involved in the greatest mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you're osik in that mitzvah, certainly you're patim from other mitzvahs, and specifically the mitzvah Puruvu. What's the end frame? What's the last time that the Rambam offers you? Until when could you use this logic? Guess what? The Rambam did not say there has to be an end. The Rambam just said, if you're learning Torah, in the bolded words, if you're learning Torah, and what, if you're worried that if you get married, you're not going to be able to continue learning, so you could delay marriage. Why? And he gives a good reason, because you're osek mitzvah patur mitzvah. That logic exists when you're 24, and 28, and 32, and 38, and 48, and 58, and 68, and 78, and 108. It seems from the Rambam, that's what I wrote over here, is this Rambam like the above Rush? It seems that we have a very fabulous machlokas. The Rush said, let's back up. Both the Rambam and the Rush agree that, everyone agrees, that if you need to learn before you get married, so learn first. You could push off getting married because you're learning. But the Rush said, but there's got to be a cutoff point. I don't know where, but there's got to be a cutoff point that you better get married. And the Rambam doesn't tell me anything about a cutoff point. He says, but if you learn, you should get married, you should have children, but if you're learning Torah, then you're osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, you don't have to. You have a svara in halacha, you have a logic that tells you that you're allowed to continue learning, and he doesn't say until any certain point. According to the Rambam, you could stay a yeshiva bachar for your whole life. According to the Rush, you could stay yeshiva bachar until a certain point. I don't know when. At some point, you have to get married. But the Rambam seems to be saying you could go as long as you want. Okay, so how do we pass it in this very fundamental machlokas? Again, we're talking about a guy who, let's just clarify the points. He knows that once he gets married, he doesn't have anyone bankrolling him, he's going to have to go to work. We're also talking about somebody whose mind is focused and his mind not thinking about women all day, in the base medrash. So here we have a machlokas. Rush says, keep on learning until a certain point. The Rambam says, stay learning. And he doesn't give any point. How do we paskin? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch is very explicit. Misha avru Alav Chav Shana V'Enarot Elisa Paskins the Shulchan Aruch, gentlemen, believe it or not, Bezdin Kofinos Elisa K'delekayim Mitzvahs Priya V'Rivya. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch is paskining that if somebody is 20 and not yet married, you could take that baseball bat that Rav Scheinberg mentioned, you could take the whips, and you could force the person to fulfill the mitzvah of Privut, to get married, and to build a family. Okay, so that's the one point, that he paskins you can do kfiya, bizman hazeh. Right, we're not in the time of the Gemara, we're talking about the Shulchan Aruch. Secondly, what about the point that we just mentioned, this machlok is Rosh and Rambam, are you allowed to keep on learning until a certain point, or forever? Mihu, im osik b'torah v'torah ba, says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Aleph, Misyari Lisa Ishi, you're scared to get married because you're going to have to be Shlo Yitrach b'mizonov yispat ben Torah. All the Shulchan Aruch says is two words: Mutter lihis acher. You're permitted to delay. Who is he paskining like? Is he paskining like the Rosh who says you could delay until some point? I'm not sure when. Or is he going like the Rambam that you could just push it off? Says the Beis Shmuel on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch is paskening that there is no cutoff point. You always have the claim, as long as your mind is clean and you're focused on your learning, and you know once you go to work, once you get married, you're going to have to go to work. Just, you always have a heter forever to keep on pushing it off and saying, I need to learn. Of course, as long as your mind is, you know, your mind isn't wandering, hush and yitzum is gabra lov. The Shulchan Aruch went like the Rambam. Now he points out, now you should know there's a machlokas about this. There is the end to this learning. Lo yadana shuli yitachin, the Rosh told us that you should just not do a pruvu, but look at the last line. Varama mashma, that there is no end. Fine. So therefore, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the past psak seemingly of the Beis Shmuel is that as long as you're able to concentrate and you don't have women on your mind, and you know that once you get married, you'll have to go leave the Beis Medrash, there's no end to your delay. You could learn, you could want to be a Beis Medrash Bacher 24, 28, 38, 48, till you're 108 years old. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, that was the first half of the shiur. There's another piece to this very interesting discussion in one of the Rishonim, Maharam Mintz, one of the very late Rishonim. So, the Rebbe Kvi Eger on the Shulchan Aruch that we just learned together, where the Shulchan Aruch said that you can delay as long as you want. Rebbe Kvi Eger says, look at the Maharam Mintz. Who is Maharam Mintz? I just gave you a very quick biography. Some things that are a little bit interesting is that he was a super Ashkenazi. He was born in Italy, but he was a Talmud of the Maharitzach, the Mariv, these are all the real Ashkenazi Rishonim in the 1400s. And then in the end, he moved to Poland, and he planned to make Aliyah, interestingly enough. Could you imagine that people in Poland in the 1400s actually wanted and planned to make Aliyah, but he ended up dying in 1480. And the 1480, when he died, it was indeed, and he wrote his Shas Tshuvas in the years, obviously, before he died, of course, in the 1460s, 1470s, that was a good 40 years, 50 years before the Shulchan Aruch was written. And remember, the Rama also lived in Poland. So the Rama probably should have been able to access his psakim, and he was a world-class posek. How come Maharam Mintz does not appear in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Ramah, at least in the Ramah, which is, you know, for Ashkenazim? So this is a very interesting, historical point, that it was only published in 1617, which in Krakow, where of course the Ramah lived, but it was after the Ramah had already died. It was printed, although it was written 150 years prior. It was never printed, and then perhaps that's why it wasn't incorporated into the Shulchan Aruch, more importantly, the Ramah didn't incorporate it, even though this is very much Minhag Ashkenaz, because he didn't get to see it. It wasn't published too much later. Okay, so this that we're going to discuss now is, do we force people to get married? No, we're not going to talk about forcing people to get married yet. That'll be another something a little bit later. Here, let's see what the Maharamin says. Let's say you have somebody who was married and had children, and then gets divorced or his wife dies. We know that there's another mitzvah. We spoke about it a few weeks ago, of Shevis, of having children even when you're older. Said it's good, so it's good to get married. It's good to get remarried after a person, you know, doesn't have a wife anymore, because to have children when you're older, and also to be able to, you know, have a certain sense of purity. And somebody who doesn't have a wife, it doesn't have simcha, and that's why there are those who say that if a single person who doesn't have the simcha shouldn't duchen, a single kohen, Mr. Malik, you have any single kohen, single grandchildren? Now by now they're all married. Yeah, you still have a few single grandchildren. Do they duchen? So according to this, it says they shouldn't duchen. They're not simcha. They're not besimcha. Look at what I underlined. Kohen ponui lo yisa es kapav ke'ena siyas kapayim below simcha. We know that duchening has to be besimcha, and if you're not besimcha, you shouldn't duchen. That's why, you know, perhaps why Ashkenazim don't duchen except on Yontif, because only on Yontif are we besimcha. Well, if you're not married, you're not besimcha, like the Gemara Yevamos tells us that only when you're married could you be fully more besimcha. So you shouldn't duchen either. Okay, fascinating. What about getting married? What about learning? Okay, look at what the Maharamin says. Imkein shmamina misha lo yachol lilmo miperet tzarchei habayis tov lo shlo yisa. If you know that you're not going to be able to provide for your wife, you're not be able to learn once you get married. You're going to have to go to work. So you should learn first. Don't get married yet. Learn first. But now he says something fascinating. And this is the point that Rebbe Kveger raises. Can I ask you a question? Maybe that which we said, that you should learn first, was in a time, let's see what he says. Achish l'chaik. Hahu davka l'didhu. Maybe that Gemara in Kedushin, where it says, that you should marry for, that you should learn before you get married. Hahu davka l'didhu shaya gvul uzman l'limudam v'lo tzrichim kol yameim l'ilmol mimareihem. If there's a certain time frame that people could learn, and then they'll get married, so maybe that's when the Gemara says, first learn, then get married. Aval ata, I don't really understand what kind of, what, why he's saying this and what it means, but look what he says. Ata anu, uchron ata, you, whoever is asking this question, dechavis atalios kol yomecha beveis harav. You don't just want to learn, you want to stay in yeshiva learning from a Rebbe. You're never going to be able to get married, if that's your thought process. Meaning, maybe the Gemara that says that you should learn first and then get married, that's talking about a guy who's just learning with a chavrus, he's learning with a sefer, so learn for a few years, and then you get married afterwards. But if you need to be learning from a Rebbe in a yeshiva, and there's only yeshiva in some faraway place where there's no other, where you can't have a family, you're not going to be able to, no girl's going to want to go there, and you have to learn by a Rebbe, so maybe we don't apply the rule that you have to learn first and then get married, because this is a place that you want to have a Rebbe for the rest of your life. One second. Okay. So we're not going to go through this. This tshuva is talking about a specific case. Let's finish off the shiur with the second half of the shiur now. Let's talk about the question of, let's say somebody does not want to get married. Does not want to get married. Can we force him to get married? Could we force somebody to fulfill the mitzvah of Puruvu? So we're going to see. We saw the Shulchan Aruch said yes. The Shulchan Aruch said explicitly, Kofin oso to fulfill Puruvu. We force a guy. I want to show you two svaras in the Rishonim, or one in Rishon and one very early Acharon, that perhaps could help us get to a point that we don't have to force people with baseball bats to get married. which I think is probably more what we would have thought and certainly what we do in our communities. Why don't we force people? Do our Sephardi cousins all force their kids with baseball bats once they turn 20 to get married? How come we don't? Why do us Ashkenazim don't? Let's look at Mordechai. Mordechai is talking about a case where, first he says, he brings a statement of Rav, Ein ma'asin, ma'asin meaning like we force somebody, like a get ma'usa, elalipsulos. Only if somebody marries someone who they're not allowed to marry, so then we force you. And Shmuel argues and says, no, we also force somebody if you're married for 10 years and don't have kids, we'll force you then. So it's machlokes Rav and Shmuel. If we force you, only if you did, even if you only if you're married to someone who's usher to you to marry, you married an erva, you married a chayve lavin, you married a kohen marries a grusha. This really comes up. A kohen, you know, he gets divorced and he looks around for a girl and he finds this divorcee and he marries a divorcee. So says Rav, yeah, that's where you could force them to get to break the marriage. Shmuel says, no, even if it's not doing anything, even if he's not married to anyone, pasul, he just hasn't had 10 children, 10 years, we could also force him. Okay. Venira, paskin zeh Mordechai, we paskin like Rav. The only time you force people to get divorced is if they're married to somebody who they're not allowed to be married to. Fine. We're not going to force somebody who hasn't had children to divorce his wife. Why? Look at this. Because in the description. We're now in the month of Tammuz, and the Gemara has a very unusual discussion about what happened in the minds and hearts of the Jewish people as they saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And they said, how could we eat meat after all the Beis HaMikdash? We don't have Karbanos. How could we drink wine after all the Beis HaMikdash? We don't have the Yayin for Nesachim. How could we eat wheat because there's no more flour on the Mizbeach? How can we get married after all? How can we bring children into a world that is bereft of the Beis HaMikdash? There's a Gemara like that. Says the Mordechai, that means on some level, nowadays, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, there's some, it doesn't mean we don't have a mitzvah to have children, but there is some accepted rationale that maybe we shouldn't get married and shouldn't have children without the Beis HaMikdash. Not that we follow that. Of course you have to get married. Of course you have to have children. But at least there's some level of, call it a rationale, that somebody could have to not get married, to not have children. Avelos on Churban Beis HaMikdash. How could I bring children into a world of profanity without Kedusha? He says, this is the Gemara that he's quoting. Dinhu, the Gemara says, oh, we should accept it. We should be Gozra, Latzmeil, Lisabla, Yushalayim, and not to marry a woman, not to Shlod, Holy Banim. But why don't we make that? Gzeira, Elisha, Ingoz, and Gzeira, Latzibur, Elam, Kain, Rov, Tzibi, Chon, Lamodba. Okay, that's the Gemara, I think, above Basra. Hilkach points out the Mordechai, if that's so, if there's a valid rationale, at least on some level, that people indeed shouldn't get married nowadays. So nowadays, meaning after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, it's different than it was for the millennia of history before Churban Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, at least now, we're not going to force a person to get married. Meaning, okay, we're not going to accept, you don't have to get married, you shouldn't get married. Of course you should get married. But if somebody chooses not to get married, how can we force them to get married if there is a very valid rationale to not get married, that is, a rationale presented in Chazal, that a person doesn't want to build a family and bring children into a world absent a Beis HaMikdash. That's one reason that the Mordechai suggests that nowadays we don't have to force someone to get married and have children. That's one svara. And now I have another svara. Look at the Yamshel Shlomo. The Marashal, who was a contemporary of the Rama, who lived in the early 1500s, and again, because he was a contemporary, he didn't make it into the Rama, but his psakim are very much adopted by the earliest poskim right after the Rama. He says, you know what, nowadays we don't want to beat people to get married. But why don't we? Look what he says here. Incredible. He says, you know why we don't force people to get married? Aval mishirabu hanedunyos. Interesting word. Nedunya, you know what a nedunya is? It's a dowry. Nowadays, it's hard to get a good shidduch. You understand what I mean? It's hard to get a good shidduch. You're looking at the screen? It's hard to get a good shidduch. You know, that has the money that you're looking for. B'sibas koshi ha-galiyas v'hamichya. Again, I don't think they meant that they wanted a five-bedroom house, not a four-bedroom house. And I think they needed an Infiniti or an Lexus and not a Toyota and a Honda. I don't think that's what the issues were. I think it was like they wanted to have food to eat and a roof over their head. So nowadays, says the Yamshel Shlomo, that it's so hard to put bread on the table, Yochel Lomar, a single could say, a bachelor could say, Lo mistayli, I just can't find a girl. I can't find a girl who could provide a sufficient dowry for me to get married. And therefore, he has some kind of excuse, at least enough of an excuse that we will not force him to get married. We won't even force him with threats. Not even will we not force him with bats and whips. I feel a bit dvarim, we won't force him. We won't even threaten. Why? Because im yeshlo amasla, he has an excuse. Basically, the Yamshel Shlomo is presenting a whole nother rationale. Nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash and bring children into a world of profanity, no. The fact that a person has an excuse. Nowadays, there are a lot of excuses. It's hard to, you can't make a parnas, and money's hard. If you don't marry somebody who's going to bring you into his business, so it's hard to get married. And as long as a guy could say, I didn't find a father-in-law who has a business to bring me into his business, I have an excuse, can't get married. So that's at least enough, we're not going to force somebody. He has an amasla. Okay, it's the rabbi's job. The rabbi should talk to this kid who's already 20 years old and not yet married, say, come on, let's go, what's happening, let's do it, you have to get married already. But if somebody has an excuse, that's already a sufficient reason not to force him. Remember, everything that we just said in the past 3 minutes was against the Shulchan Aruch, who says we do force Bizman Hazah. Comes the Ramah and says, not like the Shulchan Aruch. Based on the two rationales I just presented to you, one, the Beis HaMikdash point, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, second, that you have a good excuse, you can't find a dowry, the right one. So the Ramah says, make those two opinions, Bizman Hazeh Nagu Shelo Lakuf Hazeh. There's one more point that I would like to finish with, and that is the next line of the Ramah. Of this idea of, do we force somebody to get married when they have a good excuse, is based on forcing somebody to get married when they were married for 10 years and didn't have children, so we force them to do Puruvu. And now we're extending that. If we force somebody who's married to have Puruvu, certainly we force somebody who's not yet married to get himself a wife to do Puruvu. You know what the Ramah continues to say? Just like we're not going to force somebody to marry with a baseball bat, so to somebody, not like the riff that we started with, not like the rush that we started with, not like the original halacha, V'chein says the Ramah, as you and I know, there are plenty of people, and we probably know some people who have married 10 years and don't have children. We definitely do not force them to divorce and find another wife. Certainly now when we scientifically know, it could be the man's problem. The couple might know it's the man's issue, or the both of theirs issue. Even so, even if it's the woman's issue, we still will not force them to divorce. V'chein mishalo kiyam priya v'rivya. He's talking about a different case, I'm sorry. Let's say a guy wants to marry a woman who can't have children. Kagon Akara, we know that she's sterile. A woman, God forbid, has cancer and they had to go through chemotherapy that sterilized her, or she had a hysterectomy for whatever reason. She had ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, if there is a uterine cancer, and they removed her uterus. So a girl who can't have children, but she's a sweet, wonderful girl, and she goes out and she's social and she's wonderful, she's pretty, social, tzaddikas, and the guys like her. She doesn't tell anybody. You find out the guy's going out with her, he falls for her, and then he finds out that she had a hysterectomy, she had some situation that she can't have children, but he likes her. He wants to marry her, or she's rich and he wants to marry, whatever it may be. Could go on Akor Zekena or Katana. Maybe he wants to marry a girl who's doesn't have a period yet and can't bear children. Or somebody wants to marry an older woman, an older person never got married, and he wants to marry somebody of a similar age. He's a guy who's 60 years old, never got married. He wants to marry a 58-year-old woman who also never got married. But she can't bear children because he loves her. I'm sorry, and he wants to marry her either because he loves her, which is a good reason, or Mishum Mamon Shela, which is perhaps less of a good reason. He wants her money. So what do we do? What do we do? So you know what? Let's hold here. Be'ez Hashem, next week, we're going to start with this topic of if somebody wants to marry a woman who can't bear children, for good reason or for bad reason. I'll just start with a Shaila, because it's a great Shaila. Great Shaila. Look at this Shaila. We'll see who the Rivash was next week, but look at the Shaila in red. There's a guy named Anshmuel Arama. That was his name. He lived somewhere in Algeria, in Barcelona, I don't know, somewhere in the Spanish, somewhere over there. And he got engaged with a 92-year-old lady. He was in his prime. He was healthy, young man. And he planned on getting married to a 92-year-old lady, somewhere in her 90s. And he never had children yet. And you could bet your bottom dollar this 90-year-old lady was not a sari man. She wasn't going to have children either. And the community didn't want her to get married because we forced somebody to marry to do pruravu. So what did he do? So he went to the mayor of the town. He went to the duke. He went to the governor of the town. And he said, the Jewish community is not allowing me to marry the woman who I love. And he got the court involved. He got the secular authorities involved. And the duke or the governor or the mayor comes to the Jewish community and the rabbis and say, why aren't you letting this gentleman marry the woman who he loves, this 90-year-old lady who he loves? And they say, because in our community, you have to get married to have children. And this man never had children. He never fulfilled his obligation to be fruitful and multiply. He can't. So do you know what the court ruled? Do you know what this mayor told him? He said, okay, I will have somebody resolve this. Let's send this question, to the Rivash, the great rabbi, the Rivash, and he, whatever he says, that will be what you will have to do. And therefore, this question will be resolved by not the rabbis of your community, but by the Gadol Hador, by the Rivash. And look at this. This is the end of the Shaila. V'hiskamtim im Adon Ha'ir, and you, both the Jewish community on one hand, and this individual who is engaged to this 90-year-old lady, agreed together with the mayor of the city, lichtov elai, to write to this Shaila to me, sh'odia lachem daiti, and I will pass the Shaila for you. So Be'ez Hashem, next week, we'll see what did the Rivash say in that Shaila. Okay, so that's going to be an exciting shir. I want to thank you all for joining me today. And Be'ez Hashem, next week, we know what the topic will be.